grace. It's great to be with you again this morning. And we will be continuing our study in the book of Psalms. The Psalms, as we've said, are the believer's prayer book, and they express a range of truths and a range of emotions. Last week, you'll recall that we talked about Psalm 14, and we looked into the lives and the hearts of people that Scripture calls fools. These are people who do not have God, people who we might say are living godless lives. They do not have knowledge of God. They do not have love for God. And we looked at a number of the bad things, the evil things that flow from that. This morning, we will be looking at Psalm 15, right after Psalm 14. In Psalm 15, we see the description of a person, of people, who do follow the Lord, who do know the Lord, and who do as the Lord commands, and actually we will see go beyond what the Lord asks in His law, in His word. In the old-fashioned term for these folks, we would be godly. Godly people. If you've ever heard that term, godly people, that's who we're talking about. Not only people who hear the talk the talk, but they walk the walk of God's word and the gospel with His Spirit in their hearts. So before we read our scripture this morning, let me pray one more time. Lord God, I pray that Your word will go forth clear from this preaching. Lord, I pray that You will build up Your believers, Your church, and Lord, I pray that You will address the hearts and the minds of those who do not know You. Please, Lord, let their eyes and their minds be opened and their hearts turned toward You. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 15, we'll start in verse 1 if you're following along with your Bibles this morning. Who shall dwell on your holy hill? A psalm of David. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does all these things shall not be moved. So we've read here just now in our psalm a list of things that godly people do, things that godly people do not do. And we'll be looking at that list and talking about what these things mean, what they mean to the people doing them, what they mean for their neighbors and for their friends. Now, one of the things that this psalm is meant to do, we should understand before we get into that list, is that it warns us, all of us, not to take the worship of God for granted. Not to take the worship of God as a casual thing, because we see in our first verses the question of who will sojourn in your tent? Asking this question of the Lord, who will do these things? And what they mean, what they are talking about, is tabernacle. That's the word that we're talking about here. It means to be with the Lord in the place the Lord has designated to be with people. Who shall dwell on your holy hill? That reminds us of the promise that God made to David, that there would be a line of his children, King David's children, that would establish a permanent kingdom in a place called Zion, a holy hill. And we're talking about, in that regard, a new Jerusalem. As John 4:23-24 reminds us, God is seeking a people to worship him in spirit and in truth. So that he means worship him the way he wants to be worshiped, the way God tells us to, not the way we would want to. And perhaps this is not a question that a lot of people ask themselves. Many people don't care how God wants to be worshiped. They're just fine that God may be over there and they're over here doing their thing. Maybe their upbringing, their education, their wealth, their lack of it, their amazing personalities, their fact that they're good people should make them acceptable to God, if acceptance ever comes up for them. But our psalm confronts us with this question, and we need to ask ourselves, who really will be able to be with God, to stand with him, to dwell with him forever? Verse 1, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? And so we ask ourselves, could we measure up? Are we fit and could we make it? Verse 2, he who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart. Ah, okay. This is a contrast. If you'll recall from last week, the first verse of Psalm 14, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. That's what foolish people are saying, but they're saying it in their heart. And so this week we see that the godly person has something different in their heart. They're speaking truth. They're not saying a blasphemous saying that God doesn't even exist. They're speaking God's truth in their heart constantly. In a way that we also talk about doing right and walking blamelessly. Remember, to walk, when the Bible talks to about walking, the Bible is talking about a whole way of life. What's done, what's said, what's thought. How we walk is who we are in this life, if you will. And the acceptable person does what is right, even when it is not easy. The acceptable person speaks truth every chance they get and will share the truth with anyone. They speak truth when it is not wanted, not looked for, and not convenient, because they know how much people are in need of it. So this is what's happening in the hearts and the lives of the godly people that we're talking about this morning. Let's look at verse 3 about godly people, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against a friend. So we can see the accepted person accepted by God does not slander. In the book of James, James calls our tongues a restless evil, full of deadly poison, because they can cause great harm and damage when we use our tongues and our mouths carelessly. Tales told of others, careless, angry words. These are words that the accepted person, the godly person, strives in God's power not to say. They also do not carry bad tales about their friends. They're not gossips. They believe the best about their brothers, God's people, and love them more then they could say anything bad about them. Because as Peter reminds us in 1 Peter, we are born into a new family in the gospel. So we should then throw away all anger, malice, and deceit. But we see next in verse 4 that the godly person, although they don't carry tales and they don't slander neighbors, right? They do despise vile people. Verse 4, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. But what do we mean? What do we mean? I mean, we just said this person's not carrying tales, they're not slandering people. Who are these vile people that now are in the gaze of our godly person? And when we look at the text, when we dig into what Bible scholars have said about this, this text refers, the people they're referring to, these vile people, are people who say that they're Christians. The fancier word is profess that they're Christians. They say, I have faith in Christ, I believe in God, but they are people who do not behave that way. They do bad things, they do evil things, they say evil things, and yet they'd like to say, I claim Christ, I claim God. That's the people that the psalm is talking about here. And again, God is love. God's people strive to love. But someone who takes on the mantle of a Christian and does not behave the way the Bible says that Christians should behave and walk, dishonors God, throws scandal on the church, drives people in need of the gospel away from the church, and therefore, as our psalm says, are vile. It doesn't condemn, again, the fool here. We're talking about people we might call hypocrites. But the godly person honors those who fear the Lord. And one of the old Bible scholars that I read as I was doing my degree talked about this. This is one of the ways that we can have assurance of our salvation, that our love for other believers grows and grows and grows. We love God's word, we honor it. We love God's people, we honor them. And those are two ways that we can know that we are Christians and that we are in Jesus Christ. Let's look at the rest of verse 4. Who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Now, this is a person who, if they make an agreement, if they say they'll do something, if they say they won't do something, then they honor their word and their commitments and agreements, even when those agreements are no longer convenient, even when those agreements, what they said, make them look bad, they still quietly honor their word. They don't change for convenience or for profit. Speaking of profit, verse 5, who does not put their money, his money, at interest, and does not take a bribe against the innocent. The accepted person, the person accepted by God, the godly person, is careful with money. And I don't just mean careful with how we use it, save it, frugality, but they don't use money as a weapon. They do not use money to oppress people. They do not use money to control people. They do not use money to entice people or anything like that. And they have a different perspective on all resources, that they belong to God, and therefore they must be used for God's purposes and his ends. Now I want to pause for a minute to talk quickly about the qualities that we've been mentioning. Because maybe some people are thinking, well, these are all just goody-goody things that goody-goody people do in order to look good and seem holier than everybody else. But we need to realize several things here. These qualities, these behaviors are not things that are done by godly people to get credit for themselves, to get recognition, or for some kind of show, or to make other people feel bad. They are meant to be elements of personal inner character. So what's going on in this person's heart is what's coming out in their lives and out of their mouths, or maybe not out of their mouths. And we should also realize these qualities go beyond the law. And in this case, we're talking about specifically the Ten Commandments and even other parts of the law. What's being said here goes beyond even what the law requires. And I would say that that is really because the godly person does these things because God loved them and he fills them up with his love. And so that love overflows. So the more that they love God, the more that they do good. And the godly person finally does good even when they're on their own. Again, as I said, this is not a show. The really old-fashioned word is to live as we know we are before the eyes of God. Coram Deo is what the old-fashioned word for this is. Living as we know we're in God's sight and we're before God's sight. But as we said, it's not just that we're afraid of what God will do to us. Godly people know that they're loved, and the way we respond, our behavior and our words are moved from that love. All right. He who does these things, verse 5, shall never be moved. This side of the cross, that we're reading out of the Old Testament now, this side of the cross, we mean New Testament times, Jesus is the fulfillment of all these promises. God's people will try to do their best to live up to all these things, but only Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. It's his righteousness that New Testament believers count on for their salvation and to change their hearts into these godly people. No good deeds we do made us worthy of salvation. No good we can do could make us acceptable to God. Only Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, his resurrection, his faith in his gospel is what saves anyone. We are justified only by faith in Jesus Christ. Christians, it used to be an insult. You can imagine. It literally means little Christs. And that is what we are to do. We are to follow Jesus like little children, wanting to be like him, wanting to do what he does, wanting to be where he is. And if you don't know, if you haven't asked the question at the beginning of our psalm, how will I sojourn in God's tent? Will I be able to dwell on his holy hill? Then I'm guessing that unlike our godly people who will never be moved, you're going to be moved around all your life. You'll want justice. You'll get fraud. You'll want love. You'll get used. You'll want peace. You'll get harassed. You'll want to be accepted. And we ask this morning, by whom do you want to be accepted? Realize there's no one can keep you being moved in your life. And we mean blown around in your life, knocked around in your life. Your friends can't keep you from being moved. Partners can't keep you from being moved. You can't keep you from being moved around. There is a God-shaped, Jesus-shaped hole in your life. and your soul will only be satisfied in him. So Jesus is why people, his people, can sojourn with him and be with him. And Scripture affirms that, like we said in Psalm 1, like a tree that is planted by the water, we will not be moved from him. His love, his mercy, his salvation, his truth, and his glory. Oh, if you knew, if you only knew. And here's the promise. We'll finish with the promise. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And today, if you don't know that assurance, I am afraid you are bound to be moved around a lot in your life. And I'm not saying this morning that bad things never happen to Christian people, godly people. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that the Lord Jesus Christ will see us through every one of them. Everyone. And I wish today, you know, I pray today that if you don't know that assurance, don't be like the fools in Psalm 14. Don't even think about just saying there's no God. Grasp a hold of that hope. Don't think that God is something that's happening over there. He's doing his thing, and maybe he gave you some good luck. Maybe he didn't today. Because he's got a whole lot more for you, a whole lot more that you need to reach out and grab a hold of. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you this morning that you have given us your Son, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you did on that cross that makes being with God possible. And I look forward, as all godly people do, here and around the world, to seeing you as you really are one day. And what a glorious moment that would be. And Holy Spirit, I want to thank you for coming to be the helper, the paraclete, the one who reminds us of God's truth, the one who convicts the hearts of sinners, the one who opens eyes, opens minds, opens hearts, and melts them so that God can refashion them. We thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.